The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
There is a church within the church. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and this broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your divine light will shine upon the truth to be declared. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today I want to speak to you about the remnant theology. Throughout Bible history, there runs a golden thread. It is a remnant of God's people, the lifeline of the church. Isaiah says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." In other words, unless it were for a few faithful ones who on fire for God, the church would not exist. So it is indispensable for survival of the church to have a remnant. God will punish the church when she's in sin, as he did Israel again and again for her transgressions, causing foreign armies to devastate her. But because of the uncompromising remnant of God's people, Israel has never experienced the total devastation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Israel is still with us today because of the remnant people. My friend, what will preserve your church or your nation is not the multitude of half-hearted worshipers, but the very small remnant in the midst of her, a remnant that serves Jesus only and not also. Let us now look at the history of the remnant. As soon as Adam and Eve were shut out of paradise, you have the beginning of two strands of believers. There are those who, spiritually speaking, came out of Cain, and there are those, spiritually speaking, who came out of Abel. Both Cain and Abel believed in God. Both worshipped God. Both sacrificed to God. But Cain's sacrifice was rejected. It's almost like saying Cain's offering was rejected, while Abel's was accepted. So this is the first picture of the church in a post-garden existence, and until the end of time, she will consist of those like Cain and of those like Abel. You, every one of you in the church, is spiritually speaking either a Cain or an Abel. If you're Cain, although you believe, worship, and sacrifice, you contribute nothing of saving virtue to the church. You are in the church, but you give no light to her. You may even prophesy, doing miracles and wonderful works, but those will not be acceptable to God unless you have an able spirit. Cain wanted to worship the way he wanted it, not the way God wanted it. Cain wanted to be number one, to be above his brother. Cain had jealousy and the characteristics of the self-life. Cain was a murderer of all that God was in. And oh, my friend, how many Cains are there who destroy everything in the church that's of the Holy Spirit to have their way of worship? Jesus said of the Pharisees that they were like their fathers, who always killed the prophets. They too, like Cain, were murderers of all that God was in, even killing the Son of God. If you're an Abel, you want God's will, and Jesus will reign within you. His spiritual lifeblood will flow through your veins. You abide in him. He abides in you. You have unbroken fellowship with Jesus. It is because of these Abels that a church can survive, even though there may be only five or six of them in a church of 1,000. Except Isaiah said, except the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. That's totally annihilated. Now, this reality of the church within the church was also displayed in the patriarchal era. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was of the spiritual lineage of Abel, Esau of that of Cain. Esau, like Cain, hated his brother. Again, both Jacob and Esau believed in God, but God loved Jacob and rejected Esau. Jacob had the remnant spirit. Esau had the Cain spirit, the murdering spirit. Here Jacob represents the church within the church, the remnant church. Remember, the multitude of Jews never removed the high places of idols, of idol worship, as God commanded. They didn't want to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship God in a temple. Even the Samaritan woman, of which we read in the Gospel of John, knew where the Jews were supposed to worship. But these Jews had a religion of convenience. This grieves the heart of God. All those of Cain have a religion of convenience. The Cains hold on to their choices. The Abels let God make their choices. The prophet Micah said, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. Here again is a church within the church. In 2 Kings, God points to the day of Pentecost. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. Are you part of that remnant? Are you in the inner circle where all have direct contact with Jesus? Another picture of the church within the church is in the book of Daniel. There should have been thousands of Jews going into the fiery furnace, but it was only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Only the remnant people will go into the fire. Jesus taught the reality of the church within the church in his parables. Take the parable of the wheat and tares. Jesus said, you will find them mixed together. The root systems intertwine, even looking alike for a while. Don't try to separate them before the time of harvest. You see, spiritually speaking, as goats can become sheep, so sheep can become goats, as tares can become wheat, and wheat can become tares. They can change. Some people, like Jesus' disciples, wanted to separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. But Jesus said, let both grow together until harvest. Remember, this is also taught in the parable of the sheep and the goats. Only the great shepherd is adequately equipped and authorized to separate the real from the pretenders. Judgment belongs in the hands of God. So, God never let the remnant of Israel live in a separate place, all clustered together. He never allowed them to be disconnected from the rest of the body of the church. All the prophets ministered to the whole church and remained within the totality or the total body of Christ. So the tares with the wheat. Do not mistake the two admonitions in the Bible. The one is to come out from among her to mean separation from the church. They mean separation from the world and not from the church with its tares and goats. Of course, the remnant people need to gather together often for intercession and mutual encouragement. Jesus also repeated this teaching after he ascended to heaven. In his message to the church of Sardis in the Revelation, he said that this church was dead. Many of you are in in dead churches. You are as a few stalks of wheat surrounded by plenty of tares, as sheep among goats. So it was at Sardis. Jesus said to this people, quote, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk in white, for they are worthy. Unquote. It is these few that kept hope in the Sardis church for revival. Glory to God. The Apostle Paul combines the Old and New Testament teachings on the subject, quoting Isaiah, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant, that is, a remnant of them, shall be saved. There are multitudes in Christendom, but only the company of the totally committed shall be saved. Don't think you're saved because you are in the church, because you believe, worship, and sacrifice. Remember the words of Jesus. Many are called, but few are chosen. Another way to think of the two groups is by distinguishing between believers and believing disciples. Take the case of the parable of the Great Supper. Jesus calls all his believers into discipleship, to forsake all, to come to the supper. But they all had a religion of convenience. It was not convenient to one because he just bought a field, to another because he acquired some oxen and he wanted to try them out, to another because he just got married and wanted to go on a honeymoon. Oh, yes, they were all believers. They planned to be there eventually, but not now. They would come when it would fit their schedule or when it would fit into their lifestyle. Do you know that Jesus canceled their seats at the Great Supper? That's in Luke 14:16-24. Beware, do not be a Cain who espouses a religion of convenience. It will cause you to lose your seat at the marriage feast of the Lamb. The hope of the church is not a number. 600,000 adult believers left Egypt, but although they all crossed the Red Sea, they did not cross Jordan except for two, Joshua and Caleb. They had the spirit of Abel, a remnant mentality. The power is with a remnant. God does not want us to take pride in the numbers who come to church. David counted the troops to brag about what all he had, how many he had, but God punished him severely. Friend, God is looking for a people who will look to him and not to men. It is this people who will bring his salvation, even if it be a very small remnant, to the church and to the uttermost parts of the world. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for speaking to us today. May we obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen again to this called obedience message next week. Same time, same station. I am Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.